It's Saturday, October the 5th, 2013. I'm sorry for the mix-up in the dates. Yeah, I got it right this time. The power of engaging the historical Jesus. This is Pastor John Coleman in the Lucy Coleman Studio saying welcome to another webcast today. My goodness, my neighbor's walking down the street exercising, reading a book. Now that's an intellectual exchange. With all those children he has, that's the space that he takes to read his book. Here I am in Los Angeles, California, talking to you wherever you are. Listening to somebody in the background, Ani, Yanni, or whatever it is. How do we engage the historical Jesus? Right, not the Jesus of the 21st century, but the Jesus of the first century. And does the engagement of this ancient personality who claims to be God in the flesh. Now, come on now. That's first century Christianity. That's going back well over some 2,000 years. And to believe this, you have got to be either the smartest person in the world or the stupidest person in the world. What happens when you wake up and you don't feel like eating breakfast like I did this morning? Oh, first of all, let me give props to whom props is due. I want to say thank you, G. You know who you are, Guillermo, for enlightening my intellect and telling me to eat breakfast on this Saturday morning. Yeah, I scrambled two eggs, ate about half of those, and one piece of toast. Too much food. So let's talk about this. How do we engage the historical Jesus in a day and age where people do not believe that that is very copacetic these days? And is it worth your while? Because, you know, sometimes do you ever get up feeling like, I got to go through another day of this and I got to put up with all of the rigors? Let me start off with Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7. All right? That's in the Old Testament, for those of you. If you got a Bible, find that book. Look around. It's somewhere in the house there. You have it on the shelf of the old novels that you don't read anymore. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7 says, "For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as is the Lord our God whenever we call upon him?" Look at that. Look at that. What great nation? Has our great nation fallen from the privileged state? Would you have ever thought, listen to me, would you have ever thought that there would be a day in this country when all of the national parks were shut down? As a matter of fact, I was sitting on the porch drinking a cup of coffee with Bro Man this morning, and it's a nice sunny Saturday morning in Los Angeles, and lo and behold, to my surprise, the Department of Water and Power, DWP, was going around checking the meters. And I said, "What are you doing working on Saturday?" And the employee walked down my little walkway from the sidewalk and hugging the shade, and he was saying, "Well, we're 3 days behind." And I said, "What?" And then all of a sudden, the supervisor drives up in the truck, and he said, "Well, I got to take a break now," and he drunk some water and all like that. And I said, "My goodness, what's going on?" And then he told me what the situation was. He says that they're so far back behind and they are making the grids larger. He said they're giving us more work than we can handle. And a lot of the DWP guys that walk from door to door to check these meters, they're giving out. They can't do it. Different generation of men. What great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God whenever we call upon him? We have to start calling upon God now as a nation of believers. Now, I know that because I called upon the Lord this morning out of my aches and pains and groanings and bemoaning the fact that I'm getting old. My body is slowing down. I got to get back in the gym. I hate to get back in there because my muscles are aching all over, and I just feel like sometimes lying down and giving up the ghost. You guys don't believe me, but it's true. And when I get down to my lowest time, that is when I call upon God. And I did that this morning. I did that this morning, right after I got off the phone with Guillermo. And I just said, I want the same Jesus to come to me and put your arms around me and love me and hold me and encourage me and ignite and or excite my spirit, because nothing else does. Money doesn't do it. My fancy little sports car doesn't do it. My nicely manicured gray house doesn't do it. My house with the four rooms, and it's just me going from room to room. I don't get bored or bugged. I'm just saying, what's the whole purpose of it? Why don't I just leave the planet? And then God put it in my mind. Have you called upon me out of the depths of your heart, John Coleman, in a few days? Have you desired to have me hold you like you would have physical contact with people? Have you desired me more than you desired them? See, this is what the God of our creation wants. Look here, in Romans chapter 10, verse 12, that's in the New Testament. Now you got to go to the fresher part of the book. This is near the back of your Bible if you're looking at it for the first time. Hey, my friends in Long Island, New York, are you listening to me, Miss Hale? Are you listening? Are the children still listening? Hey, I still love you guys. You guys know who I'm talking about. Wait a minute. My buddy up in Canada. Hey, man. What's up? Wait a minute. I got friends all over. How about Eric in the Carolinas? That's right. With your lovely wife and those beautiful sons of yours, are you still listening in? Or have you drifted by the wayside? Have you seen what's happening in the churches today? Are you thoroughly fed up of it? Are you finished? Look what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. That means whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches. Where though? For all who call on him. See, I called on him and he ignited my spirit. He gave me something on the inside that I could not get naturally on a Saturday morning from drinking my coffee and eating my breakfast. He gave me something when I engaged him that he gave me way back in 1967 of August. Guillermo said, why did you say on the webcast for Devante Anderson interview that this was August the 5th? I said, man, I got my days mixed up because I've been trying to get that boy in the studio here, and he's just in and out, going to work like he is today, going to work, trying to make some money, trying to make it happen. And so I said, sit down and talk with me about this. We'll give you part two later on. But I'm not concerned about part two as I am concerned about my engaging of Jesus when I feel down, because I'm an old dude. Now, I want to talk with some of you seniors out there, some of you guys that have gotten over 50 years old. You used to go to church every week. You used to believe in all of that stuff. Well, I got to tell you, listen, the drill hasn't changed. It's the same drill. It's the same thing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. It didn't say anything about acknowledging your pastor, acknowledging some ministry, acknowledging what some TV clown has told you, or acknowledging what some bookseller, you know, book toting agent has told you. Oh, and by the way, for my Bible study students, listen. I haven't canceled my Bible study. I was thinking about canceling it because there seems to be no interest. But I took care of that, but that's going to be taken care of later on. As long as there is interest in studying the Word of God, I will have a Bible study on Wednesdays in my home. I'm going to do that, but I have to know that the students are coming in, or I'll choose something else to do on Wednesday. Like, you know, go somewhere and see a first-run movie or something like that. Because I have hundreds of Bible studies just waiting to share with a plethora of individuals that wants to know what God might be saying to a world that has not forsaken him. And remember, there's no distinction. So you don't have to be a member of a church to come to my Bible study. You don't even have to be a Christian. But you will hear things that will motivate you to understand that there has to be some power in your life through the engaging of an historical Jesus, not the Jesus of the 21st century, not the Jesus that you hear people talk about on TV, and God forbid if you're still watching that infamous satanic network. Not that Jesus. No, not that. Not the advertising trinket Jesus. You know, oh, send us money and we'll send you a trinket. Do you know how many trinkets you have gathered over the years since that abominable station has been on the airways? You have all those trinkets and your life still is not better because you have not engaged the Lord of the, I didn't want to say the Lord of the airways because that's Satan, but the Lord who is the historical Christ, all right, the historical one, the one that walked the streets of Galilee, the ones that was on the boat in the, you know, Capernaum, around that area, the one that walked on the water, raised the dead. I know this is impossible for you to believe in the year 2013, but it did take place. It did take place. I'm not gonna pretend as if something took place and it didn't. It did. Now, how do I know that? I know that because I have engaged this man. I engaged him this morning. I engage him. You should have felt what I felt when I got up this morning. I literally, and you know PJ is going to tell you the truth because I have no reason to lie. I wanted to die. I wanted to be dead this morning. When I got up, I said, what worth is it? What business is it of me to be alive? I said, the thing that I love the most, the ecclesia, the church, has gone sour. The fellowship that I used to have with believers that I thought was genuine, sincere, and everything. I don't want to play by the patterns of men. I want to only go by the patterns of God. I am what I am and who I am, and that's what I'm going to be. I don't have... You know what? I was talking with a friend of mine, and I met this guy at a gentleman's supper club, and they play jazz there, and he sings the blues there. He sings the blues. He sings blues songs. I'm not from the country, and so I never did like the blues. I like some popular music, but I'm there, and I'm enjoying myself one evening, and then they said, now here's Hank, and Hank got up, and boy, and he starts singing just like Joe Williams every day, you know. Every day I got the blues and all that kind of stuff, and I'm just laughing, clapping my hands, enjoying it. So after the fact, he's walking around the place, and I said, Hank, come here. I said, man, where did you learn how to sing like that? He said, aren't you Pastor John? I said, yes, I am. And he said, and you come here? Now listen to me. I said, of course I do. Love good music. Man, love to be around people. There's life around here. I like this. And he says, don't you feel a sense of shame by coming here? I says, why? There's people here, people breathing. He said, do you think that your Lord would come here? Yes. There's nothing wrong with this place. There are souls here. I'm enjoying the art that I'm participating in. I'm not doing anything sinful and la-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da. Well, I was in this guy's place of business a couple of days ago, because he owns a business. He's a black man. And he saw me when I came in, and he said, Pastor John. I said, hey, Hank, how you doing? He said, man, these church people. I said, Hank, leave it alone. He said, they are so full of it. I said, Hank, leave it alone. And he said, man, I'm beginning to understand you more and more. And I said to him, I said, okay, you've been doing some real serious thinking here. And he said, they're hypocrites. I said, why do you say that, Hank? He says, because they profess to be, and then we turned our attention towards the church that he came out of, because he came out of West Angeles, Church of God in Christ, down on Crenshaw here in Los Angeles. I call it the Cathedral of Hell. That $40-50 million timepiece that everybody thinks is the magnificent of the universe in Los Angeles. And Charles Blake and his wife May that runs the joint. And he was telling me, because he professes to be one that follows God just like me. And he was saying, you know what? I don't live a hypocritical life, neither do you. I said, I never have. I said, I've always told people what I want to tell them, what I want them to know about me, and I've never been a hypocrite. That's why even when I come to the point of retiring from being a church pastor, I got tired. Listen to the drill again. I got tired of giving the same messages over and over and over again, but never to see the result of it in the lives of the people over the years. You see, Satan puts in my mind at times, shut down the website, John. Nobody's listening. But there's some people listening. There's some people listening. Oh, yes, they're listening. You know, you saw up on the website the picture of young Devante, a football star, athlete, going to Santa Monica, junior college, working on trying to get that scholarship and all that kind of stuff. Only reason that he's engaging with me is because I'm trying to keep his GPA up, showing him how to study, how to stay disciplined at that, telling him to cut down the time on all these women, because all this stuff that y'all are doing in this generation are cutting you back. You got to think about you. You know, one of the hardest things that I have telling these youngsters, think about you. Think about your future, your life, what you're going to do. You know, he often tells me, man, I see you're going on 70 years old and you going to the gym with me. You jump in the car. We put the top down. And of course, he wants to drive my car. I'm not going to let him drive my car. Heck no. You don't drive my car. Listen, you drive a car like that when you earn the right to do it. The quiet is kept. You don't even have the right to ride in it unless I want you to ride in it. I don't let anybody, as a matter of fact, never. Only time that I let one of those boys drive my car is when I got sick and they had to drive to the hospital or drive me or pick me up from the hospital. But no, nobody gets behind the wheel of my car. Because if you tear my car up, then I don't have a car and the insurance isn't going to pay for it. Because what in the heck are you doing sitting behind the wheel trying to look cool? This ain't about being cool. This is about being mature. This is about paying the insurance, paying the license on it, paying the upkeep on it, the service on it. You haven't done nothing and you want to drive it. You're not driving my car. Now, check it out. How do I know that? For there's no distinction between a Jew or you, a black man. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches. That does not mean money. That means spiritual insight, intellectual insight, and all of those kinds of things for all who call upon him. I'm trying to get Devante call upon the Lord. You heard him talk about it on that webcast, Devante Anderson Interview Part 1. You need to go back to that and listen to it if you haven't listened to it. And you listen to that boy's dreams and ambitions. And I haven't seen him since he left with his mother. His mother came to pick him up with his little brother. He's been gone ever since. I said, fine, spend some time with your family. Do that. A lot of people think, oh, John's trying to build another family. No, I help young men in my community. I love them dudes. And I'm going to help them. And I'm going to help them accomplish their dreams in. If I can make their life a little bit simpler. Now, as long as that charge is there, God has placed that charge within me to do that. I don't require much. I just require sometimes my time alone with my Lord. That's how I engage the historical Jesus. I don't ask him, am I still doing it? I say, watch me do it. Now listen. Talking about calling on him, let's stay in the book of Romans. Let's go down two verses to verse 14 of Romans chapter 10. You still got your Bible open, right? It says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? In other words, how are you going to call on this historical Jesus if you don't believe that this historical Jesus is really making sense in your world? Now, I want to talk to the youngsters. I want to talk to some of you youngsters that listen. You need to listen to PJ today. You need to listen to the internet pastor. There will come a time in your life when your life is going to fall apart. Somebody's going to say something to you that's going to devastate your mind. The person that you thought that loved you will tell you that they never loved you. They will put you out. They will send you to auntie's house. They will throw all your stuff out, all your junk out, and say, get your stinking junk out of my house. You stink. You blah, 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 blah. And you thought that these people loved you. You thought that these people care for you. Well, they do love you. They're going through a crisis. As a matter of fact, think about the people that haven't worked for a week or so now since our nation has been on governmental shutdown. Think about them when they can't pay the rent and all that stuff and the bills are due and everybody start contacting them. You watch what happens in these families when they start hollering. See, I used to work for the LAPD. I used to sit in the roll call and the watch commander or the sergeant would say, now, guys, you know what's going on in our country. You know how difficult it is all over. And we live around here by these national parks and these people. We got 500 employees that's out of work now. And so just stay by your radio because you're going to get a lot of domestic calls, a lot of fights going on because the money's short and things are running thin. And watch command is not going to say this. And these people do not know the power of engaging an historical Jesus. So they are going to engage their own will and ability, which is going to lead them to call 911. And we will have to come with massive force to break down a breakdown. See what I mean? That's the way it TI is. And that's the way it's going to get more and more. That's why when you see some of these things happening on the news, all over the news, all this violence, all this foolishness, and because these people do not know how to engage on him. You need, how can you call on him on whom you have not believed? Now listen, I felt like dying this morning. I didn't want to live. I didn't want to do a webcast. Do you hear me? I didn't want to do it. I was tired. I said, oh, come on, God, I don't have the energy in me. Just let me go back to bed and lie down in the bed. Hey, come on, are you a day over 50? Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm 69. I should have retired 4 years ago. 4 years ago. 4 years ago, I should have retired. I should be going on sea cruises now, enjoying myself. No. God says you will do a webcast, John Coleman, every day of your life. Well, how can I do it, John? You've got to engage the historical Jesus in order to make it. But it's rough out there, John. It's rough on everybody. But how are they going to know how to make it if you don't show them how to make it? But I'm tired of being the example for these sluggardly, lazy people. John, I never called you to complain over the airways. I call you to engage me. Let me work through you so that the people can see that I am still alive on this planet, in your country, where you are. They can make Christianity make sense now because they hear an old dude telling it like it T-I is, and you are going to do it, or you will never feel the joy of my spirit engaging your spirit, giving you life, wanting you to live another 10 to 12 to 15 to 20 more years to do this every day of your life, all for the praise of my glory. But wait a minute, Lord, how am I going to pay this $150 a month? I will provide a way for you, John Coleman, if you do what I told you to do. Now, if you don't do that, yes, you are going to die. But then I'm going to put on you, listen to this, based upon the book of Jeremiah, if I've told you to warn them and you do not warn them, Pastor John, then their blood will be required on your head. See, those of you that have been walking in the way long enough knows the way that is. That's from the book of Jeremiah. Matter of fact, let me go there. And I'm going to see if I can find that text right now because I want to quote it right. All right, I found one. See how beautiful this thing is? Let me read the first scripture that I came up with because I got a few. And I want to start off with Ezekiel 33:7 about warning. 33:7 says, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel." Now, of course, this is for the Jews, Israel, and I don't see myself as an Israelite and anything of the means like that, but I'm saying that I'm a watchman in that sense. "Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them for me." You see, that's what God has called me to do. God has called me, he says, no, I want you to hear the word at my mouth and then warn them of what I'm telling you. How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 in the New Testament? You know, you want a scripture for this, you know, believing in this, in this monotheistic God, right? It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men." That's an exhortation to me. See, and when I feel like I want to die, I want to give up the ghost, I'm tired of it, I don't want to do it anymore, I get tired like everybody else, I'm a human being, what do you think I am? Do you think I'm this what? I don't know why these pastors are going around, "I'm strong." You're not strong of anything. I know a pastor, every time he comes to town, he tries to hook up with me because he knows that I'm a single pastor and he thinks that I'm out there wing-dinging in the streets. Well, I'm not doing that. And I don't mind hanging out with him, but I'm saying, you know what? You need to go home and talk to your wife, and you need to really get that taken care of like that, because you're not going to wing-ding it with me. I hope that my life would end in a far better way than that. You youngsters, listen to me. The reputation that you start making now as a person in this life, the reputation that you make now is going to be the same rep that follows you all of your life. Here recently, switching lanes here, since I want to do that, and and it's important for me to do that, I guess. For me to switch lanes, that is. People always tell me that they like hanging out with me because I'm talking about things that they haven't thought about. And I guess I can understand that, really. Oh, what's this? This looks like I got a... somebody's calling me here. Let's see. I don't know who this is, so I better leave this alone. You know, when I get messages like that, I try not to engage in them because I just try not to engage in them. That's all. There it is. I don't know this person. See, and that's what they say. They say, you know, I like you because you kind of like talk about where you are right now. Wait a minute. Let's see. Schedule of maintenance has been complete. Clear to you to confirm this account. What is this for? I guess I can do that. Okay, I'll do that. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing something, and they're asking me to sign in, but I'm not going to do that. Okay, I'm going to forget that. I'll cancel that out, and I shut that out, and I shut this down. There we go. Now I can get back to you. But they were telling me that, well, you know, PJ, you know, you're a pretty swift guy. I'm trying to learn this technology and trying to keep everything going. Wish I had me an equivalent assistant that could assist me in this. But what my Lord has shown me today is you don't need anybody to assist you. You need to get in touch with me. You need to engage the power of my spirit in your spirit. You need to let me do what I began to do in you in August of 1967. You need to go there with me, John. You need to know that I don't care if you're 180 years old. I'm going to do in you what I started in you all those years ago. Those of you that have been walking in faith with the Lord all this time, that's not a connection with your church. It's not a connection with other people. It's only a connection with the God of the universe. Now, you know what? I'm not going to say I don't care what you call him, because I am concerned about what you call him. You want to make sure you're not worshiping demons or the devil. Okay? No, I don't worship some blue-eyed, blonde-haired Messiah that looks like a European that was hiding out in Egypt for a few years and then came on the surfaces, and that's my Messiah. No, I don't know how the Christ child looked. It doesn't matter how he looked, but I know he didn't look like that. So I'm not worshiping some Caucasian person that has wavy blonde hair blowing in the wind like the old 1936 account of some German European mindset. That is not the Christ that I worship. That is the mundane figures that we have on our stained glasses in our churches. We have it embedded in our minds. That's not the engaging of the historical Jesus that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the man that walked the streets of Galilee. I'm talking about the man that healed the widow at Nain's son. He was dead. They were carrying out the coffin to bury it. The widow of Nain was weeping her heart out. Jesus broke up the burial ground, told them to stop with the body of the boy on there, touched it, and the boy came back to life. First thing Jesus said is, he's hungry, give him something to eat. How did he know? Because he knew the boy had been dead for a number of hours. And so you're saying, you're telling me, John Coleman, that this historical figure of Jesus raised a dead body from the dead and told some people to feed it and it came back to life? Yes. Yes. Okay. Now, how do you find that? Okay. Well, it's very easy. You go to your N-A-I-N, Nain, and I did it. This, no search was found. Well, this is a bad a Bible verse there, right? You got to find it. I'm probably not looking it up in the right place. But if you go under the widow at Nain, N-A-I-N, that's what I have to do. Let me do that. Let me do that. And I'm going to do this in real time. Okay. Okay. Now let me see if it finds it. Nope. It's not going to do it. Not going to do it that way. But if you type that in your computer search and it comes up, you can find that incident. I'm not going to call it a story because you may think that it's a fairy tale. But it's real. And another one would be in the book of Luke when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He had been dead 3 days in the grave. And he told them to move the stone from the grave. And the people there in Bethany said, he stinketh by now. You know what that meant? They meant that the maggots had started to eat up his body. And Lazarus's body was decaying. Gangrene had set in. It was a funky smell, if you've ever smelled a dead body. And he said, remove it. And Lazarus' sister said, oh, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. See, she had this kind of a thing like a lot of you have for your pastor in the church. If you dare in the building and all that kind of stuff, everything's going to be all right. Jesus said, woman, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, do you believe that? Jesus was saying, I don't have to be here to make life happen. See, I was thinking this morning, oh God, I'm so tired. I got all these papers to grade. I got all this stuff to do. Oh, I need to be on a vacation cruise with somebody that loves me. Oh, I still feel so young in my heart. You guys know what I'm talking about? I still feel so young in my heart. I haven't experienced enough of life. I want more of it. I want more of it. More of it. More of it. Oh, I just want to die. I'm not getting enough of it. It's over. It's done. Hey, I'm telling you, I know how seniors feel. Have you ever seen them in the rest homes? If some of you guys are growing old like that and you're feeling like that, jeez, I wish I had a way to get this in the rest homes. because if I could play this to the people in the rest homes, those of you that work in those institutions, play this cast for your senior citizens and tell me how they feel. Because I know the way they feel. I know the way they feel. They're so weak they don't even want to change their dentures or wash them or clean them. They feel weak. They don't feel like, oh, why should I have to go through this? All my teeth are gone. I got these false teeth in my mouth. I got to clean it. Have you seen the commercials on television? These people are trying to take wrinkles out of their neck. Leave the wrinkles in there. Engage the historical Jesus, and he'll show you how to deal with the wrinkles in your neck. I was somewhere in the mall the other day, and I saw this, oh, this gorgeous lady. She was gorgeous, and she wasn't voluptuous. She was just a beautiful woman. And she kind of looked at me and smiled, and I kind of looked back at her and smiled, and I said, oh. Now you see, now wait a minute, why don't you hear me out? Stop it. See, you think that I'm a lustful beast. I know what you think. I'm not that. PJ is a real dude. He's going to tell you like it is. And I'm going to talk about things that you don't want to hear me talk about because you have been broadsided by the so-called, well, do not let evil come out of your mouth. That's not evil for me to think about a beautiful woman. Are you kidding me? Or if I see a young man that's working out in the gym and he's looking, dang, his body is looking good. I wish my body looked like that. There's nothing wrong with me doing that. What's wrong with that? You got to work on it. Work on that. Now, it's more difficult to work on when you're older. But you have those thoughts, you have those feelings, you have those anxieties, so to say. Take all that to God. Take it to God. He'll put it in perspective for you. Yes, he will. And by me doing this webcast, it doesn't make me any healthier than I was some 37 minutes ago. It's merely letting you know that I have learned what the power is to engage the historical Jesus that will take me through the rest of my days doing what it is that I am supposed to do. And that is a wonderful thing. I just saw another neighbor of mine on his bike just riding around. And that's a great exercise. Just around the blocks looking at people's lawns and their flowers. It's a wonderful thing. And I'm living in the middle of Los Angeles. Then it's a wonderful thing, I'm telling you. It is. Well, so what was my purpose? My purpose in doing this was to get you to feel what I feel about our Lord. Don't stop engaging him. Continuously come to him. When you wake up in the morning like I did, you just feel like, I don't want to make it anymore. I'm tired. I don't want to go through this anymore. Come on. John, give it up. Just do like everybody else. Say to heck with everything, to heck with everybody. Call your daughters. Tell them how much you love them, how much you cared for them. But die, John. Shut your website down and drop dead. Nobody's listening anyhow. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear about this historical Jesus anymore, John. Nobody but you. And you're quite out of your mind because you're an old fogey. These youngsters don't want to hear about the God that kept you, the God that is keeping you. See, this is the lie that Satan would try to tell me. That's what I'm trying to share with you. Because there are two forces on this planet, whether you believe it or not. There's the forces of evil and the forces of good. And the forces of evil would want me to deny Christ, to deny his power in my life and his objective analysis in my life. And he would want me to deny myself the privilege of following him. Will you, along with me, continue to engage the historical Jesus? That's what I want to ask of you. I need you to engage this Jesus in a way that would guarantee your life being just like mine is, I'm happy to be alive. I'm glad that he didn't whack me. I'm glad on this Saturday, October the 5th, that he sustained me. I had the wrong date on that Devante interview. I better change that too. But on this Saturday, I thank God that he did not take my life, but that he infused life in me so that I can continue to talk to those, some of you that are maybe a little bit younger than me, dealing with some things in your world. I hope that you can know through listening to PJ that there is still time for you to engage him. Now, this is how you do it. This is how I did it. And I think telling you about how I did it would really help you out. After Guillermo called me, I made a couple of eggs, a couple of pieces of toast, and a cup of coffee. And I stood at the counter, and I bowed my head to thank him for the food. And I was listening to Christian music. I was listening to Anthony Evans Jr. And he was singing about how much he loves God. And I joined in with the song. And I broke out in tears. And I said, I'm sorry for saying what I said. You know I don't want to die. I want to do what you call me to do. Then I told him, I get weak from time to time because I'm human. Help me with my humanity. And then I ask him to come and just embrace me, to love me, to let me know that you love me. Because as I was telling Guillermo, I don't have too many people telling me that these days. And it's a very difficult time when you don't have a lot of people telling you that all the time. And the older you get and you put out all this energy, well, you need that energy back. Well, guess what he did? Guess what the historical Jesus did? Came to me with the full bravado that he did the moment that he saved my soul in August of 1967. And I almost collapsed from the joy of it. And he gave me the power to tell you, no, I'm not going to shut down my website. No, I'm not going to stop doing Bible studies. No, I'm not going to stop helping young black men in my community that got tats all over them, paint themselves up, thinking in a world that's completely different from mine. I'm not going to stop that. I'm going to still poke holes in the dark with the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Okay? That's what this old man who thinks like a young man is going to do. And I want to thank you for your many prayers, those of you that are praying for me. I know who you are. I know who you are. When you don't hear from me from time to time, I'm struggling just like you. But when you do hear from me, like on this Saturday morning, trust me. If I shut this site down, it's because I have no money. And it's because something happened beyond my means. But as long as there's a God who reigns on this planet and gives me his blessed book. Oh, wait a minute. Listen. I want to read from you from a guy named Jeremiah. And as you listen to what he says, you will know exactly what I'm about to say. Listen to this. I'm reading from Jeremiah chapter 20, and I'm reading at verse 9. It says, but if I say, I will not remember him, or speak any more in his name, because that's what the enemy wants me to say. That's what Satan wants me to say. Then in my heart, it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it. Do you know what he's saying? The prophet Jeremiah says that if I should ever conjure up in my heart the plausibility or the possibility of not speaking for him, then a fire begins to burn in me. Because when I engage him, listen to me, young person that doesn't know what I'm talking about, then I have that a priori experience that God reveals himself to me. This is from outside of me, and I know it's him. And he knows that I know that it's him, and it's like fire shut up in my bones, and my mouth shouts open, and I cannot help but to praise him. This is what is going to carry you through the rest of your days as our blessed America goes down the toilet. He will engage. If you engage him, this historical Jesus, he will give you the power to zap you through the worst part of your life. Trust me on this one. Trust PJ on this. This is your internet pastor in Los Angeles, California, speaking to you. For those of you pastors all over the country and all over the world that happens to be losing heart, especially to my African pastors that listen to me. Now and then I receive emails from you asking me to come to Africa, to Egypt, and I'm not going anywhere. You can do this where you are. You let the power of this engaging Christ engage your heart, and you can do just what I'm doing. Tell the people that God has put under your custody the very same thing. Don't ask for money from them. Don't ask for anything from them. And I want to share this too, because my hour's not up and I got some time. And this is for you young men that think that you are called to preach. If you are doing this for money, you have lost your mind. Because there's not enough money that they could pay me to do this. You can't pay me to do this. I don't get paid for this. This is because I love the people that love to engage God, because we are the people that this God that I'm worshiping is going to redeem, because his name will be exalted above any and every other name. It will be exalted, and that will be exalted through the human conscience, through the human experience, through you that listen to me. Okay? Thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray for Devante, that he will get his lessons out and that he will get that scholarship so he can play ball. Want him to do that because that's the desires of his little heart. He's only 21 years old. I remember when I was 21, I definitely didn't want to be a football player. I don't want nobody crashing into me. And you should see when this boy tells me how to attack somebody on the line. He's all muscle. You saw it in that picture that I had up. I don't leave the picture up because I don't need you to focus upon how he looks. I needed you to know that he's a real person. But he's all muscle, and he's getting bigger and bigger. As he eats, he just eats. He just comes in after he gets off from work, and he just messes up the kitchen and cooks food and eats it. I'd say, well, eat it, man. You know, got to build up that body mass, going to the gym and all that kind of stuff. And he has his own personal life. I don't interfere with that. One thing that he does realize, though, he realized that there's no dude here that loves him like he's his son. And we have our bouts. We argue with each other. Oh, yes, we do. It is not easy living with PJ. It is not. You need to know this. Living with me is very difficult. And he doesn't live with me. He just stays here temporarily till he gets on his feet, and then he's out. Because no one can live with me. I'm the only one that lives here. That's the way that works. But thank you. I'm glad that you came by my site. As a matter of fact, I looked there. Let me look at this. Oh, my goodness, 366,022. Let me refresh this website and see how many people have started this. Oh, three more people have joined in, so I better finish up this website, webcast, and so they can listen. Thanks for listening in. This is PJ saying, you know the drill. Whatever you do, do it like I do it. Stay into the blessed Word of God. Lord willing, I'll talk to you soon.